thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Can we all just do me a favor and take a deep breath? Yeah, that deep breath is more for me than it is for y'all, but that's all right. I was preparing for this message, and I was working with one of my mentors in this area, and you all may know him. He's some old guy by the name of Dr. David Oldshine. Do y'all know him? And and so I've learned through some of his classes that it takes multiple people sometimes to develop a good sermon. And so he wanted me to share with you all that if you all like it and it's good, that he's going to take some of, or most of the credit. And then he said, if it sucks, it's all on me. So, but I'm very grateful for his guidance and help. Is it okay if I just talk to you all this morning as a peer, as a fellow student? I wanted to share this message, and I felt the Lord put it on my heart, because I do believe that if we ask all of our students, you know, where they're headed in life, they have that directional pause where they're trying to figure out which way to go. And they're trying to figure out what to do next. You know, we're looking forward to graduation, some of us, and you may be having, you know, thoughts, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll do this. And there's just a level of uncertainty that is normal when you're in that stage. And so I wanted to share with you all just a little bit of my personal testimony and parallel to scripture. I can recall in the fall of 2017, I had graduated high school earlier that year. And I was at Fort Jackson. I was sitting at this place called MEPS. And I know there's a few people in the chapel, or maybe even in Hope, that can relate or know what this place is, MEPS is. And I was sitting there, and I had already went through the entire process. And I was sitting in the lobby waiting to go into the room where you raise your right hand. I had a contract with the United States Marine Corps, and I was shipping out in November, and I was ready to go. I had it all figured out in my head. And I remember sitting there, and this gentleman called the chief medical officer walks out, and he says, Mackie, and I'm looking kind of weird because I had already made it through the whole process. And he says, who's Mackie? And I said, that's me, sir. And he said, I need you to come to my office. So we get to his office, and he says, well, Mackie, you're not going to be able to swear in today. And I was like, really? And so he goes on and he says, you know, we need to get your eyes checked out. So they send me over to this place called the Reception Battalion. And I went there, and the doctor looks at my eyes and he says, you have something called pellucid marginal degeneration. And I was like, well, you got to break that down for me in layman terms, because I don't know what pellucid means. I barely know what marginal means in this whole degeneration idea. And he said, well, it's called keratoconus. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he says, well, in short, we believe that you'll be blind by the age of 45. And I told him right there, I said, well, no, I'm not going to be blind, sir. I'm ready to get my stuff and go. So, long story short, I didn't swear into the Marine Corps that day, and I went back, and I was still trying to just find a little nook or crack or crevice for me to get into the military. So my recruiter and I put up this waiver thing, and we sent it to the National Marine Headquarters and all that good stuff, and they still told me no. Well, what I didn't tell you at the beginning of this story is that I had already had a knowledge of what God was calling me to do. And it wasn't in a uniform, it wasn't in the Marine Corps, it was ministry related. And I just did not want to do ministry. I found nothing about ministry attractive. I was in church at the time, but I was just like, nah, well, for one, it doesn't pay good. So I was like, I'm not doing that. So I was like, no, I'm not doing ministry. And so after the waiver went back up and I knew I couldn't go into military, I decided to enroll at USC, go Clemson, and I was a student at USC, And I became a chemical engineering major, and I decided to go on a pre-med track. I wanted to be a hematologist. And for anybody that knows me, that was an oxymoron because I absolutely hate the sight of blood. And so yet I wanted to be a blood doctor. What I'm sharing with you all is just a testament to I, and me. I, and me. So I'm at USC, and I'm on the track to become a chemical engineer. And when I did the little Google thing and I put, annual salary, I was like, yeah, I can be a chemical engineer. And then I did the same for hematology, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll definitely do that. And I was like, this is it. And one day I was home, and I got this letter in the mailbox, and it was from some place called Columbia International University. And I started flipping through the ads, and mind you, I'm still at the University of South Carolina, go Clemson. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, here we go with this ministry stuff again, right? And so I was like, I really don't want to do this. And so, like I told you all, I was in church at the time, active and whatnot, and I can recall studying one evening, and I ran across this prophet by the name of Jonah. And I, read through the scripture, and I was like, wow, that sounds a lot like me. Because Jonah got instructions to go to Nineveh. And for me, ministry was my Nineveh. It was not appealing. I didn't want to do it. And so like Jonah, I got on this boat to Tarshish, and the boat was the military, and I was trying to just find my own way, because what God had told me or called me to do is not what I wanted to do. And so I found myself at a place of a crossroad between my desires and his plan for my life. And so I had to do something that we often don't like to do. I had to concede and surrender. I had to come to the realization that this life is not my own. I had to be okay with the fact that there were some things that I wanted to do that I would never get the chance to do. But I had to trust his plan for my life, and that it would be the best thing for me. I want to tell you all this morning that often when we are in our own, or trying to navigate our own life and whatnot, and we develop our own plans, it's not always that it's a bad thing. It can honestly be a genuine pursuit to do something that you're interested in. Both of my parents, my mother and my father, were both in the Army, and so I grew up in that type of environment. And so the military was not only familiar, but it was something that I was shooting to do. And so it was a genuine pursuit in something that I was interested in, but it was not what God wanted or had for me to do in this life. And so that's where the title comes in, Bump Your Plans. And I know this isn't something that, especially us seniors want to hear when we're, months away from graduation, that, wait a minute, our plan still doesn't matter. Our plan isn't what's ideal for us. We have this finite understanding and this finite ability to see certain things for our lives. And so, we have to come to the point where we're willing to say, you know what, God, I'll put you back in the pilot's chair. It's almost like a few years ago, they had that bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot. And I do believe that when I was trying to pursue a career in the military, I placed God in the co-pilot chair, and I was the pilot. But the moment that I allowed him to be the pilot is the moment that I started to see things change in my life. When I accepted what he had for me, and I was okay with the plan that he had. And so, bump your plans. What does that look like for you? Well, maybe the reality of it is, everyone that majors in sports management, that may not be the first place that you go to in your career. Maybe, your parents or your mom or your dad or whoever you spent the majority of your youth with wanted you to, be a doctor or a lawyer, and you're feeling called to go elsewhere to pursue a different career or a different ministry or whatever that may be. And so you have to isolate what God has for you and what your desires or maybe even the desires of other people may be for your life. And so I can recall in the midst of this this time in my life where I was trying to figure out which way to go and where to go. One of my great grandmothers was still living, and this is by the time I was at the University of South Carolina, go Clemson. And so I was sitting there sharing with her. I was like, you know, we call her Notting, and I don't know what that means, but that's what we called her. And so I was like, Notting, I'm going to be a hematologist. And she looked at me, and at the time she was dealing with Alzheimer's and whatnot, but I could tell that it was her when she said what she said next. And she looked at me and she taught me a very important lesson at the age of 94. And she said, son, you'll be a great doctor, but you'll never reach the full potential of who you are. And I thought about it, and I was like, wow. And what she was telling me was that if I did not pursue what God wanted me to do, that I may still be good at that thing, whatever that may be, but I wouldn't have been able to reach the full potential of my life. See, if we look at the life of Jonah and what he was called to do, God wanted to use him to save and preach the gospel for the people of Nineveh. And so God has individuals lined up in our future that we, through whatever that space may be, through career, or through family, or through whatever, we have to share the gospel with these individuals. We have to be positioned and in place to do what God has called us to do. And so she tells me this thing, and I looked at her hoping that it was dementia, because here my great-grandmother, you know, is telling me that what I want to do, I'll be good at, but it wouldn't be best for me. And so what do I do next? Well, I can recall when Dr. Avery was here a few weeks ago, he talked about that importance of prayer. And so I had to familiarize myself with praying fervently to see which way to go. And it brought me to a point in scripture where Jesus is at this same moment in this garden called Gethsemane. And he's talking to his father, and he says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Which indicates that there was another route or plan that Jesus could have taken in that moment. But he realized that the plan that the Father had was much better than the one that he was going to do. He realized that that plan that the Father had was going to bring salvation to people like myself and to like you. He realized that it was a very important thing for him to do next. And so he has to concede. He has to surrender his own will to that of his Father. And so I said, you know what? If Jesus said it, it should work. And so I said, Father, not my will, but your will for my life. At the realization that my life didn't belong to me. At the realization that, truth be told, we have to make sure that we're doing what's necessary for when that day and moment where we close our eyes. Have we done what we were put in the earth to do? And the reality of it is, friends, that that looks different for all of us. But you all have to come to that point where you're willing to utter those words, Father, not my will, not my wants, not my desires, not my plans, not my hopes, not my dreams. And I know it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound appealing. Not the people that I want to spend time with. Not the things in life that I want to do. But Father, what you have, that's what I want. And I can tell you from the moment that I opened that envelope from some place called Columbia International University, and I prayed about it and I said, okay, God, if this is what you would have me to do, then I'll do it. It feels as though that everything after that just kind of fell into place. It was from that point, it was divine orchestration, if you will, as if God was like puppeteering everything, and everything just began to work for the good. And that's because I sat back and I let him be the pilot. And so I want to encourage you all today that maybe you've got it all figured out, which I highly doubt because I still don't. I think all of the individuals sitting over here, they may not still have it all figured out, right? I heard Trey say yesterday in a training that he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do when he grows up. So the reality of it is that we're all in that place, at that moment where we still have to constantly remind ourselves that God's will is best for us. His will always be superior to what we can do. So I want to encourage you to have that conversation with God. I want to give you practical advice that if you don't know where to start or where to begin, to find someone and have that conversation with them. Find a mentor, find a peer, find a professor, find someone, a pastor, find someone to have that conversation with so that you can understand the benefit of letting God be in control of your life. Through those years where I was attempting to go in the military and I was at USC, what I didn't tell you all is that I faced multiple medical situations in different hardships medically. And they ranged in spectrum from, you know, small things to at one point I had a massive blood clot on my brain and that went down into my neck. It was just every time I turned around, it was something after something after something after something. Now, I don't know what your understanding of this will be, but I can assure you that ever since I told God yes to what he wanted me to do, I have never dealt with anything like that again. And I firmly believe that it's because I had that conversation, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. Whatever steps I need to take to position myself to be ready and prepared for what you're calling me to do, I'll do that. If it's to go to Columbia International and take Bible classes, I'll do it. If it's to go and be mentored by my pastors for the next stage of my life, I'll do it. Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so my hope is that when you reflect back on today in this message, that you will find something in it that sticks with you, and we may be able to give Dr. Olshan just a little bit of credit, not too much, but you can understand the importance of negating your plans and really falling submissive to the will of God. Can I pray for us today? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every individual that's represented today in Shortest and Hoke and even those that are watching online. Father, I pray right now that as they are finding these finding themselves in these moments to discover what's next or to position themselves for what is to come, that they will seek you for your guidance. That they'll be able to say, Father, not their will, but your will for them be done. Father, that they will have the difficult conversation, that they will be able to realize that their life is not their own, and that when they surrender to you, you will be able to lead and guide them in a way that is much better than their own. And so, Father, we trust you because you are a God of great, great sovereignty, that you will do this. You've never failed, and you won't start now. So, Father, we thank you so much, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.